Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com. And this is radio program number 91 if you're listening by shortwave radio. Tonight I have a couple of very special friends, new friends, that are my guests tonight, Dan and Shelley Filkins. And I'm real excited about them joining me tonight because they have a very, very interesting testimony. That many people are hearing the call of God right now on their life, and they're leaving what has normally been their comfortable location in life and with a job and families and friends and a nice house, nice cars, and suddenly God's ringing their bell and calling them out. And I'm going to leave it to, this is Dan. Thanks, Dan, for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Andrew. It's really an honor to be here with you this evening and to be able to share just a few things that God is really doing in our lives. Thank you.
You're welcome. And this is Shelley.
Hi, Shelley. Andrew. Hi.
So this is going to be really fun because, you know, when you got something to tell, it's like show and tell. You got to have something to show. You got something to tell. And this is now the testimonies of people are coming alive because they're being obedient and having a testimony, something that they've been tested in, because that's really, you don't have a testimony until you've been tested. And part of leaving your comfort zone is a test in itself. And of course, after you leave your comfort zone, there's more challenges that lie ahead. But what I want you to share tonight, because I think a lot of people can relate to your story, because this is typical Americans, that we just want to live the American dream, and then whenever we die, and we've lived the dream. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's really what God has called mm-hmm. us to do, is just to live a dream and die. Mm-hmm. I think the Lord wants us to live His dream.
Amen.
And, you know, one time when I had about 3 years, maybe 2.5 years, I give my heart to the Lord, and I just become engaged. And it's amazing how many things after I gave my heart to the Lord, so many things I wanted to happen in my life didn't happen. I was just like a butterfly that just stayed out of my reach. I could never catch it. I wanted to get into medical school. I wanted to have a family. And it's just nothing ever seemed to work the way I was hoping it would until I gave my heart to the Lord. And I was sharing my testimony of how much had happened in my life in the 2 years that since I'd given Him my life. And actually, all my dreams were coming true.
Wow.
And as I shared this, I heard, as I said, that all my dreams have come true in the last 2.5 years just by putting the Lord in my life. And then I heard Him speak back to me, and He said, now it's time for my dreams to come true for you.
Wow.
And I never thought about it. He has dreams for us, too. It makes sense because He's the one who thought us up, and He's the one who brought us into this world. Sure, He has a dream for us. And I think this is where He's trying to get all of us to get to a place where we're really asking Him, what is your dream for me? Why did you create me? I want to fulfill your dream, not my own. But I want you to just kind of go backwards a little bit in time and just give us a little bit of foundation of your story of how the Lord brought you where you are right now.
Absolutely. Well, that's a great opening, because all glory and praise to God. And I was thinking this morning how ironic it is that Americans do strive for the American dream, and we overlook the one who created us. It's so unbelievably obvious whenever you gain perspective that it's foolishness, really, to serve your own dream when there's someone who thought you up in your mother's room, in your mother's womb before the beginning of time. And something that I think is so precious is that He has a heart for us. It's not just obedience and walking it out, and He has a heart for us. And why wouldn't we want to be in touch with His heart for us and what He's called us to do? So I'm just going to spend a few minutes and then hand it over to Dan, because one of the major stories that I feel like I have to tell in this world is that one of the chief problems that I see in the church and in the United States is the problem of usurping authority from the top down, from the down up, all the way. It's an area that I've been very convicted in, and that I have. And if you're a woman listening, I just want to encourage you that your husband hears from the Lord. And just like Sarah, whenever we submit to that, that's where our safety and security is. And it's not in us being smart in our own eyes or knowing everything or every scripture in the whole Bible. There's an order that God put in place, and it's with your husband. And just to give you a little bit of backdrop and before you hear Dan's testimony, which is very powerful, but Dan and I have both, it's a second marriage for us. We've been married for 14 years. We have grown children and grandchildren, and we have a very deep walk with the Lord. At one time in our lives, both of us did. And the Lord was so kind and merciful, and I mean that, to give us to each other, and it's a supernatural story how it happened. But not long after we were married, we started pursuing the American dream, I would say. And I had a very successful career. Dan had a successful career, and he'll get more into that. But we had a mortgage and three cars in the garage that the bank owned. And it was all we could do to say grace over that, and the problems and that we had with kids and blending a family and growing them up, and just the things that go along with it. And we were in a church, in a large church, and where we were under, I guess you'd say, conviction that grace is as far reaching as we could go, almost. I don't know that we would have said that, but that's what we lived. I was looking back, that's what we lived. But somewhere in the last year, I was very dissatisfied with that, and I knew that there was more. And actually, I would say I was in holy fear. The Bible says that Noah, in holy fear, prepared an ark for his family. And looking back, I would say that would be my emotion. I was in holy fear. I realized somewhere in the deepest part of me that we were in danger of losing it all. In fact, our very lives, if something didn't change. At that point, Dan and I were not on the same page, but God had a plan, there were moments and things that went along with that are difficult, and I don't give glory to God, and we don't really discuss them greatly, but we went down paths, we stretched God's grace to its outermost, we'll just say that, and he was merciful, you know, and I don't know why God extends his mercy in some cases, but in that moment and in that experience that actually became life-threatening for my husband, extremely life-threatening, I would say life and death, we realized that we were walking the very cusp of a cliff, and that we actually fell off of it, and God in his mercy supernaturally intervened and put a net and spared us. And it was exactly the experience that we needed. I would compare it to having CPR with the electric, very painful experience, I understand, to have that done, to be brought back to life. But we were very grateful for that very painful experience, because what it did was it caused us to reassess everything. You know, in light of eternity, you're in one moment, you reassess everything. And Dan, I'm so grateful to say that my husband committed himself fully to the Lord that night and has never looked back. It was a sincere commitment. And honestly, I believe it was an answer to his prayer. In the innermost part of his heart, I believe he desired, we both desired, to be committed to the Lord. And we had allowed ourselves, and we take responsibility for that. But he answered almost a prayer of our heart by bringing this trauma, and we were then in a place where we said, yes, Lord, whatever you have. And whenever you see into that moment where you understand that everything is on the line at every second of your life, when you get that, you can't afford, there's no luxury anymore of disobedience. There's just not that luxury anymore. You understand that every single moment is a yes sir moment. And so with that, I'm going to hand it off to Dan.
That's good, honey. She does such a much better job of explaining things than I do. But I think it was probably, this was probably May.
This year,
yeah. I had a knowledge of things that was going around me. I knew of the Jade Helm operations in our area. I had special forces contacts that had seen countless boxcars with shackles in them. I had relatives.
You were in a law enforcement position.
Yes, so I was. I'd finished a career, one career, and then I went into law enforcement. I was with a sheriff's department in Oklahoma, and I was graced to be put on their SRT team, which is known as their SWAT team. I felt very comfortable in my environment. I felt actually pretty like I was protected against anything, that I could handle anything that came up with my, you know, with my buddies, my brothers. I felt like we could just take on anything that came our way. But during that time, God was working on me, and we had started watching the Jim Baker Show, and we felt the Spirit led us to do that. And I was watching, I think it was late May, and Rick Wiles came on the show, and it so bore witness with both of our spirits. And somewhere in that radio, I guess it was his, actually it's his first national television broadcast of his whole, 17-year career. First time he'd ever been on national TV. And he was speaking of Panama and Bocchetti, and something, I mean, at that moment, Bocchetti dropped in my spirit. And I didn't know what Bocchetti was, Bocchetti Panama. And I literally tried to get away from that. I thought, no, we have grandkids here. We have kids here. God's not going to call us to a foreign land, but he did. And so I kept letting that bounce back and forth. It's like I was trying to get away from it, but God would not let me get away from it. And I think it was late June, maybe early July, I was thinking of better ways I could prepare to the perilous times that we live in. All the different things law enforcement guys probably think and ways they could prepare. More ammo, better weapons, you know, better ballistic vest. But God stopped me in my tracks one day. And he said, son, what are you doing? And I said, what do you mean, Lord? He said, this is a war you cannot win. And I mean, that shook me. I mean, I don't understand, God. What do you mean it's a war I can't win? He said, you're going to be fighting me. If I bring judgment, it's you that's going against me. And I remember that just shook me to my innermost being. And I really didn't know what to do with it. And then the 4th of July came. I was working in my garage. I went to grab the flag and go put it up on my house like everybody else did. So I was as much red, white, and blue as anybody. And I couldn't do it. And I didn't understand it. And I almost felt ashamed, but I couldn't do it. And it almost, I literally didn't understand it. I literally didn't understand it. And I went in the house and I sat on the counter and I just started trying to figure this out in my mind. And this was just after the Supreme Court decided they were going to redefine marriage in the land. And I was just talking to the Lord and I said, Lord, what does this feel like to you? A country that turns its back on you. And I said, could you let me just kind of experience kind of what this feels like to you? And I mean, I'm a little tear up once in a while when I feel the Spirit come on me, but I've never sobbed in my life. And at that moment, I started sobbing, and it was so deep and so violent, and it was shaking my whole body. And I knew that I couldn't withstand this very much longer. And I said, okay, Lord, that's enough. And so he was just letting me get a little glimpse of what that felt like to him. And I was sitting there and I was looking at a globe. And I go, Lord, what's going to happen to this country that's been the cradle of the gospel? You know, now that it's turned its back to her. And I heard him, like I've never heard him say before, he spoke of He said Ezekiel 23:9. And so I went to it in the New Living Translation. It said, "And so I handed her over to her Assyrian lovers, whom she desired so much. They stripped her, took away her children as their slaves, and then killed her. After she received her punishment, her reputation was known to every woman in the land." And woman means every nation was known in the land. And it's at that moment that I said, "Lord, I will do whatever you tell me to do." And John, I took a trip. As I was coming home, I heard the Lord speak to me, "I want you to leave." And so that's when we knew for sure that we were to move to Boquete, Panama. And great things have unfolded ever since we made that commitment to follow him.
You know, it's just absolutely amazing how God can take you in a place where you're not even listening, nor do you really care to listen, but there's a design that he created us for, a plan, and he gives us every opportunity to fill that plan and fulfill that design that he's thought of. And I've seen many people right now have to make some very difficult decisions to follow that plan. This is not an easy path. You know, he said it's a narrow road. Few there be that find it. And most people don't want to, nor do they ever want to even hear what the Lord has to say. And this is one of the most important things for all of us, is that we have to first hear his voice. We have to hear and recognize it's him speaking to us. And most people, honestly, that they hear a very difficult word that God wants them to do, they'll just say, "Get behind me, Satan." You know, they don't want to hear, they want to attribute, "This can't be God, because he wouldn't ask me to do such a difficult thing." But the blessing is in the difficult thing. Yes. The doors open once you make difficult choices. God is looking for people that will define themselves as his by making tough choices. I've seen a lot of this lately, even people who come here. Life is not always easy, and it's not, everybody thinks they're going to jump into this little new nest of feathers, and it's not like that at all. It's a narrow road, and there's not many people on it. And this is a place where God takes us, and once he gets us to this place where he can deal with us because we're out of our comfort zone, then I always say, you know, he's got to do a work in us before he can do a work through us. And I believe, like, the first thing that you do when you land out of your nest is you begin to find out that you won't splat on the rocks. You do have wings that will carry you, that eagle, out of that nest. And so this is probably a place where you guys are at right now, is like you've seen supernatural, something happen that you didn't expect would ever happen once you jumped from that place of comfort.
Andrew, I think one thing I want to say, if I may, is that the normal things toward our heart, you know, like you said, the call to obedience is not without cost. I mean, it's with great cost. And, you know, we risk even our reputation to come. You know, obviously the things that are so important to us as family, our children are precious to us. We're very close to our children. They're not estranged from us. We have a great relationship with them. We have three beautiful grandsons that we're very close to. It's not like we walked away from difficulty. We walked away from what most people would consider a great life. And so in that, there's different struggles. We feel like they're going to feel that we're betraying them, or that we're going to feel that they feel that we're fleeing or that we're running. And honestly, we were very willing to die there. We had reached that point very quickly where we saw the direction that the country is going. Dan was willing to die. But when you get to that point where you see eternity, you understand you must obey. And obedience is what's required in these times. And it has been supernatural since we've arrived. There's been a lot of shaking for us. But every single day, you know, we didn't need God's supernatural provision in the United States of America. We could put it in the microwave or go to the drive-thru or go to the ATM. And here it's just different. And I tell, as as many challenges as there have been, there's not been one day or even one moment that we've thought, what are we doing here? We know that we're where we belong. And I feel like that's been a gift also from my husband. And I just want to encourage men to, when you make the decision, of course, difficulty will come and your wives will cry, but it's your commitment that causes her to feel secure too. And so remain steady, and the light always comes. It always does. And so yes. I wanted to share that.
You know, in 99, I, with all good intents, of course, to prepare for what I could see potential happening back in 1999, I just knew there was a potential of problems. I was an Eagle Scout, so be prepared as flows in your blood. So I did everything I could as a good father, a good husband, to prepare, be able to take care of my family. If something were to happen, I could feed them. If I had stored food, I could protect them if I needed to. We left our we actually had a mobile home, a motor home, and then we were able to travel at that point. But I did everything I could, I knew to do, and I didn't feel any longer safe in a big city. So we wanted to move. Even we were outside the town, up in North Texas, about 40 miles north of Dallas. But I didn't feel even secure in that point. I saw, like I was standing on a hill. I'd lived just right off of I-35 that went up toward Oklahoma City. And I'd literally, in the spirit, I could see armored vehicles driving down I-35 going toward Dallas. And I just had this in my spirit that one day there will be armored vehicles driving the interstates and going to whatever they're going to do. And so we moved to Montana. It's about the best of my eyes, just kept going toward Montana, and I knew that's probably the best, safest place to raise my family, and I always wanted to live in the mountains because we used to take vacations every summer up to Colorado, so it was like a dream come true for me to be able to go there. And then back in early part of 2012, I am laying there in this newly remodeled nest, you know, up in the mountains, log home. I mean, it's just the beautiful, most beautiful place you can imagine. Snow-capped mountains, look outside our window, and just incredible dream, like living on a vacation. And I'm laying there, and suddenly I hear the words, "Your nest is in the wrong forest." And when I heard those words, I saw myself up in a tree, and there was a spray paint mark on the base of the tree, like in Montana when you're going to cut a tree down, they spray paint and put a ring around it with like a red spray paint or fluorescent. And that's just an indication that tree's coming down. And that's what I saw in the spirit, was the nest, the tree that my nest was in, was going to come down, and I had to relocate. And I knew the forest was the United States. It wasn't just my little location, because I'd gone, what I'd done is I've tried to relocate to the safest place I knew in the States. So I went up, I took 4 business trips up to Montana, or up to Canada, out of Montana. And it's like I wasn't there. And it wasn't until I got a phone call from a gentleman, and he said, he just called me up out of the blue. I said, "Where are you?" He said, "I'm in Panama." And I looked at my wife and I said, "We're supposed to go to Panama." I didn't know why, but I just knew that was the connection I needed. And what I realized after all this relocation and all the changes, and we came down here, what I'd done is I had relocated to another location, what I thought was to be safe. Essentially, I headed to the hills. Right. And what I believe the Lord was saying to me is, not even the hills will be safe.
Right.
Something's going to happen in the United States that not even the hills. So your sense of security in outside the Lord's divinely directing you where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing, what I realize is that you cannot relocate physically yourself without a relocation of your heart. You have to repent, and then that place of repentance, then God can redirect you. And whether he says to stay or to go, but it has to be in that position of your heart, that you're in a heart change, that you are repenting for what you've done, that you have taken in your own a position of security within your own ability. And that's what I did. I'm sure in being a law enforcement agency, you had much knowledge in self-protection and even protecting other people, and you figured that would be enough to protect you. But it's God's judgment never comes in a way. And when you reject God, as this nation of America has done now, then you have put yourself outside the boundary of his protection. But now you come, like you said, you now you're going to fight against me if you're going to fight this battle, because this is my battle now. I'm bringing judgment to this land because they will not repent. And that's the key, is repentance. It's not praying. I see so many ministries now, they talk about just praying. But it's not just praying. It's repent. It's turning from your wicked ways. If you go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says you must repent and turn from your wicked ways and pray and seek my face. And then I'll hear from heaven. But they leave the word repentance out. And this is the key. This is the key that will change God's decision, because it was Nineveh that repented. They repented from the head all the way down, even the animals. That was a very unique situation. We're seeing nothing that. It's actually going the wrong direction.
Exactly.
It's going the wrong direction.
Andrew, that's what I was hearing God say through this whole shaking, for him speaking to me. It was, I need you to fall on your face and repent. I mean, that was just really the bottom line. What you think is walking the American dream, living a Christian life, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. He was calling me, I want you to repent and just listen to me, follow me, because that's where our safety is at, is being in his will. That's the only safe place to be.
That's exactly right. This is where everybody needs to get right now, is that's the safety. That's the shadow under the Almighty, is in a place where your heart is broken and repentant, and you've turned your heart toward him. And this is our cry with this ministry, is that people's heart would change. It's a heart change that God's looking for. It's not necessarily a location. It's a location of people's heart.
That's exactly right.
And our prayer for those listening right now is that you would find that place of repentance in your heart and say, Lord, change me. Examine, search my heart. See if there's any wickedness in me, and leave me in the way everlasting. That's what David said, and he was a man after God's own heart. So our prayer is that you would be a man after and woman after God's own heart too. So thank you again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength with the number 4, thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.